I'm not sure if I would call what I have to say this morning a sermon. I don't have any particular text that I want us to focus on, so it'll be a little different maybe. I just more or less want to deal with a subject that I've been dealing with myself for quite some time. Instead of a sermon, I think maybe it's just more of me just getting up here this morning and sharing with you what is on my heart as a result of a lot of things that's been weighing on me for quite some time. I have to say that the things I have to say this morning are really a lot of things I've been saying to myself for quite a while. And as I share with you what I've been going through, my hope is that you are also challenged, but more than that, I hope that we are changed. Last Monday morning, I was in here, I was having my prayer time, and as I've told you many times, my prayer time is walking around. I can't sit, I can't kneel and pray, it don't work for me. I got to be moving when I pray. And one of the things I did when I was in here having my prayer time last week is I spent some of that prayer time just kind of reminiscing with the Lord out loud about all the years that I've been a Christian. And in that time, I reflected back over my 20-some years as a Christian and all the changes that has taken place in me during those years. And in that time, I realized that there have been a lot of changes that have taken place. Some of those changes that have taken place has been for the good. Some of those changes that has taken place has been for the not so good. The not-so-good changes are more along the lines of the areas in my Christian walk that I would like to have restored in me. They're the God-given attitudes, the God-given habits and characteristics or the passions that have changed in my life and have faded away that I would like to have God bring them back and renew them in me. As time passes by, all of us can begin to lose some of that spiritual fire that once burned in us. And as a result, we need to be revived. We saw that a few months back, if you remember, as we went through the book of 2 Timothy. We saw that with Timothy. Timothy was in need of a revival, personal revival. It's seen with Moses as he spent 40 years over living in Midian, where his relationship with God had become dull. It's seen with David on numerous occasions throughout Scripture where he needed to be revived in his relationship with the Lord. It's seen with the Israelites over and over and over. In Psalm 85, the writer said to God in relation to Israel, he says this, he says, God, restore us again, O God, our Savior. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? As you read the Old Testament, you see that the prophet Samuel led Israel into a time of revival. As you read the Old Testament, you see that King Hezekiah led Israel in revival. You see King Asa lead the Israelites in revival. You see Josiah lead the Israelites in revival. You see Ezra lead the Israelites in revival. You see Nehemiah lead the Israelites in revival. It's all through Scripture. Revival was seen with the church of Ephesus, or it was at least hoped it would happen. Because if you remember, if you ever read the book of Ephesians that was written to the church of Ephesus, they was a good, healthy church. It was a church on fire for the Lord. But 35 years later, as Jesus evaluates those churches in the book of Revelation, that church of Ephesus had become described as having left their first love. Folks, something I hear almost weekly is that the church, not just Grace, but the church as a whole, all across this land, is in need of a revival. And even though I agree with that assessment, I think there is some confusion as to what a revival is. What is the purpose of a revival? Why we even need a revival? My experience has been that people will typically think of revival or a revival as something that a church will do during the week where they have services for several consecutive evenings once or twice a year, and they bring in a guest speaker who's brought in to preach some sermons to get the people fired up. A lot of times we think of a revival to be where a church brings in some evangelist and he preaches sermons so people get saved. Now I will say that there is some truth to that first part of that analysis, but a revival is not where a church brings in some evangelist to preach sermons so people will get saved. That's called an evangelistic crusade, not a revival. Etymology of the word revival itself literally means to return to consciousness, restore to health, live again, bring back to fashion. And so you take that and you put it into the sphere of a Christian spiritual condition, and revival means to have one's spiritual life renewed. It means that to have it restored, revitalized, rekindled, resuscitated, reawakened. One writer I was reading, he put it this way, or she, I don't remember which, I read both, but it said, revival refers to a spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy or stagnation in the life of a believer. Revival helps to resuscitate spiritual life. A while back, I was with a group of pastors. We was talking about the subject of revivals. They was talking about some of the week-long revivals they used to be part of all the time years ago. They don't have them like they used to. Some still have them, what have you. But they was talking about how exciting those revivals were. And my question to these guys was this. As you think back on those revivals that you were a part of, that was exciting, was there any long-term changes? Was there any long-term improvements? And I went on, I said, because you can go to a week's worth of revival meetings. You can get excited. You can feel the Spirit move. That does not necessarily mean revival took place. Then I went on and I asked the guy, I said, as a matter of fact, it would be a few months before you ever know if there was a true revival that happened during that time. Because if the people were only excited for that 1 week and there was no long-lasting changes in the people, then you really didn't have revival. You just had a group of people that got excited for an hour or two each night that week. I mean, if you want to go back to the early years of this country, the Great Awakening Revival, 1730, 1740, somewhere in that ballpark figure, that the United States is still being affected by that revival 200-some years ago. A true revival has long-term results, not a two-hour result, not a one-week result. Now, having said all that, let me ask you this. Are you in need of a revival? Are you in need of having spiritual life resuscitated within you? Are you in need of having your spiritual life renewed, restored, revitalized, rekindled, and reawakened? As you think about those questions, I want to lay out for you a list of indicators that can help you answer those questions. And let me warn you right up front, some of them might hurt a little. So let's go with this. Would you describe your personal Christian life as nonchalant, mundane, boring? Or would you say, no, my Christian life is exciting, it's joyful, it's stimulating? Or is it joyless and without any real passion? Would you describe your relationship with the Lord as more like something you endure or something you enjoy? Would you say that you have little or no desire for regular, consistent prayer? Would you say that your prayers consist of nothing more than asking God for temporary things that if God answered, they would not be a lick of difference in His kingdom agenda? Are your prayers more about what you want instead of what God wants? Would you say that Jesus is not a name that comes through your lips very often? Would you say that you rarely spend alone time with the Lord? Would you say that you go through your week without any real in-depth thoughts about God? Would you say that you get a little more excited about your favorite sports team's Facebook or Twitter than you do the things of God? Indicators you need revival. Would you describe your attitude towards God and the things of God as zealous, exciting, and passionate? And if not, does it even bother you? Would you say that you are more in love with Jesus today than you was a month ago or a year ago? Would you say you love God, but it's just not the kind of love that makes you just motivate you to want to be connected to Him? Would you say that the things of this earth are more interesting to you than the things of heaven or eternal things? If someone asks you, hey, how is the Lord working in your life? Would you have an answer? Indicators you're in need of revival. Can you remember the last time you opened a copy of God's Word outside of Sunday morning? Would it be fair to say that you call Jesus Lord, but you don't live your life as if He is Lord? Indicators in need of revival. When it comes to people placing their faith in Jesus Christ, is it something that you ever think about or really care about? Is there a passion in your heart to see people come to the Lord? Does it bother you that probably somewhere around 90% of the people in Vinton County would go to hell if the world ended today? Does it bother you that you have people in your life that will one day face God's wrath? Indicators you may be in need of revival. What about our culture? What about sin? Are you living in any kind of sin and you really don't see a need to repent of it? Do you find entertainment in things that you know Jesus would not approve of? Do you tolerate habits in your life that you know are wrong? Do you excuse sin instead of acknowledge sin? Does the culture you live in bother you anymore? Have you allowed your standards and your values to be shaped by the culture we live in? Indicators you may be in need of a revival. When it comes to church, when it comes to the praise and worship time, such as what we just had, does the songs mean anything to you? Is worship boring to you? Is your worship, say, half-hearted or maybe even lifeless? When you sing the lyrics to the songs, do you really mean it? Or during praise time, do you just kind of go through the motions? Do you worship and praise God through the week, Monday through Saturday, or you just kind of wait and hope it's going to happen on Sunday? indicators you're probably in need of a revival. Is going to church just something you do, but you really just don't look forward to it, especially with sermons like this? When you're not able to make it to church for several weeks at a time, do you even miss it? Would you be more apt or more excited to attend a church dinner than a midweek Bible study or a prayer meeting? Folks, I am not asking these questions for the purpose of condemnation, but for the purpose of examination. Trust me, these questions I ask myself and many more. Periodically, folks, it is wise for us to sit back and do some self-examination. When you get down to it, revival begins by doing a spiritual analysis of yourself. I mean, think about it. If the Christians in the church of Ephesus that I mentioned a few moments ago would have periodically taken time to ask themselves questions like that, Jesus would not have had to have described them as a church that had left their first love in Revelation 2. If the Christians in the church in Pergamum would have occasionally taken time to ask themselves questions like what we just went through, Jesus would not have had to have described them to have been a church that was a compromising church in Revelation 2. If the Christians in the church of Thyatira would have taken time to examine themselves and ask themselves these kind of questions every so often, Jesus would not have had to have described them as a church that had become a corrupted church in Revelation 2. If the Christians in the church of Sardis would have periodically just taken some time to examine themselves on questions like what we just looked at, Jesus would not have had to have described them as a church that had become spiritually dead in Revelation 3. If the Christians in the church of Laodicea would have just periodically examined themselves and asked themselves questions as what we just looked at, Jesus would not have to have described them to have been a lukewarm church that would not open the door and let their Savior in as He did in Revelation 3. But folks, here's what's interesting about all them churches. All of those churches was having church as usual. People was attending weekly. They were busy churches. They had a lot going on. Just read the text. Just read the scriptures. Read the evaluations Jesus gave them. They were happening churches in the sense of being busy. They were having church as usual. They had a lot going on. But as Jesus looked upon them, He said, you guys have a tremendous need for revival. If we've had a good, healthy, vibrant relationship with the Lord in the past, how do we get to the point of needing to be revived? Sometimes we get to that point just simply as a result of going through some periods of hard times. Sometimes we get there as a result of walking in sin. It could be that somewhere along the way, we just quit putting forth any effort into our relationship with the Lord. Maybe sometimes we let other people or we let other things come between us and God. Many cases it happens that people just are become sporadic in attending church and they get away from spending time within God's house and with God's people. Now, having said all that, I can guarantee you that there are some of you, including myself, who are in need of revival in your walk with the Lord. You know you need some revival to get those spiritual fires burning inside of you again. But you hesitate. Revival is not, it's just not something you get excited about. Why is that? Why is it that a Christian can know that their walk with the Lord is mediocre at best, but they don't have any motivation to seek the Lord for revival? Well, I can think of a few reasons. First of all, I would say revival requires a willingness to change. If what you've been doing is not producing a vibrant, exciting walk with the Lord, then common sense says something's got to change. And sadly, too many Christians get comfortable in their relationship with the Lord. They just kind of settle down in their spiritual lazy boy, and they don't want anything to disturb that. We get in that deal where we have our daily routines, like Doreen, it just has to go to the bank on Mondays and ask for a bank bag, even when it's not there, and we don't want anything to change that routine. Secondly, we fight revival because revival requires commitment. It means you might need to start saying no to some things or some people that might be getting in the way. Thirdly, we hesitate or we fight revival because revival may mean that you need to make some sacrifices. You might have to lay aside some things because you know God would rather you be doing something else. When you look at the way Jesus described what a true disciple is in Scripture, he said that those who want to make a difference are those who are willing to make changes. They are those who are serious about being committed to Him and His agenda. They are those who are willing to make sacrifices. It's just interesting how many people, and you look in the New Testament as you read the Gospels, it's just interesting to see how many people there were excited about the person of Jesus. But they wasn't excited about what he was asking of them. See, too many times we get focused on what we need to give up. We get too focused on what maybe we need to sacrifice, or we get too focused on what we're called to be committed to in order to be revived in our relationship with the Lord. And we fail to focus on the benefits of letting God revive us. Spiritual revival, folks, reignites a hope in our lives that we have allowed to fade away. Spiritual revival will direct us back to walking by faith and not by sight. Spiritual revival will begin to produce the joy that we have lost. It can transform our grumbling and discouragement back into joy. Spiritual revival will develop in us a desire to want to point people to Jesus. Spiritual revival will call us to want to do things that have eternal, lasting value. Spiritual revival will move us to begin to pray for kingdom things more than we pray for earthly things. Spiritual revival can reignite an excitement in us to want to come to church, want to see how and where we can serve. Spiritual revival can develop a real, authentic time of worship and praise where we mean what we say when we sing. And the list just goes on and on and on of the benefits of spiritual revival. So the next question is, where or how does revival begin? First of all, we've done talked about this one. Revival begins by examining ourselves. Plain and simple. Asking ourselves the hard questions, but giving ourselves honest answers. Prayer. Talking to God about your desire to move beyond survival to revival. Tell the Lord you want to get back to being passionate in your relationship with Him. Tell Him that you need Him to reignite your spiritual fires. Begin to make some changes in your day-to-day life. For example, this may be odd, but turn off the TV. Take some time and read Luke 14, verses 25 through 35, where Jesus talks about the cost of following Him. Maybe get off the phone or ignore the temptation to spend your day on Facebook. And spend some time reading John 15, where it talks about how we are to abide in the vine if we want to be fruitful. Begin to do the things you know God has called you to do, even if you don't want to do them. Spend time with other Christians who also desire to be revived, or maybe they have already been revived. They're already excited about the things of God, and let their excitement pour out on you. I mentioned some of the churches there that Jesus had called into revival back in the book of Revelation. And what was interesting about His evaluation of those churches is how He ended His evaluation of those churches with the advice that He gave them. After He evaluated their condition, their spiritual condition, after He challenged them to make changes and be revived, here's what He said to each one of the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. If this message is weighed on you in any way this morning, if upon hearing what was said here this morning, you realize, like myself, that you are in need of revival, Jesus is saying to you and He's saying to me, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. If I can paraphrase that, wake up. Listen to that voice. Don't keep walking the trail of spiritual apathy. He's saying, turn to me. Start doing the things you know you should be doing, even if you don't want to do them, and I will begin to redirect your steps and reignite your fire. Regardless of how dry your relationship has come with the Lord, regardless of how apathetic or mundane it's become, none of us as children of God are beyond revival. Again, this is not a message of condemnation, it's a message of examination. And I'm going to take this a step further. This is where you rub people raw, but that's okay. If some of these questions we ask today are true about you, if your relationship with the Lord is dry, boring, mundane, apathetic, unexciting, joyless, so on and so forth, and you're okay with that, my guess is you're not even truly in a relationship with the Lord. My guess is you're truly not born again, because that's just contradictory to Scripture. And so I want to end it with this. If you are a true born again believer here and your relationship's grown cold, the Lord's saying, if you have ears, listen to what the Spirit says. In other words, let me begin to revive you. But if you're here today and you've never surrendered your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you don't need to be revived. You need to be reborn. Jesus said in John chapter 3 when he talked to Nicodemus that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they've been born again. In short, what that is all about is we need new birth from heaven. We come into this world as sinners with a sin nature, and we are spiritually dead. Jesus says, if you come to me, confess your sins, place your faith in what I did on the cross for you, yield your life over to my Lordship. He said, I'll forgive you of your sins. I will give you new birth from heaven. I will send my Spirit to take up residence in your heart, and I will give you the gift of eternal life. As we get ready to sing this final song, if you have never done that, if you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, today would be a tremendous day to do that. The altar up here is open for anybody that, you want to come up, you've come to terms with your need of revival and you just want to take that before the Lord, or if you want to know more about giving your life to the Lord, I'll be up here, get a hold of one of the deacons or somebody to talk to you about that. But if you're one of those like me, you don't like to be up front, believe it or not, you can pray right where you are. There's no magic up here. Right where you are, just, Lord, I'm sorry that I've allowed things to become dry and cold between us. I need you to begin to rejuvenate me and revive me and ignite those fires back in me. Or maybe your prayer needs to be right where you're at is, Lord, I need you to forgive me my sins, and I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior. Throughout Scripture, our relationship with the Lord can be seen in also our relationships with our spouses. It's a marriage picture, obviously. One of the reasons we have two of our grandkids this week is because we've sent our daughter and her husband to a 3-day marriage conference, not because they really needed it. But marriages over time, as you know, can become mundane. They become boring. It's just what you do. You go through the habits, you just go through the motions. And in the same way that we have to work to keep marriages exciting and vibrant and joyful, we have to do the same in our relationship with the Lord. Joyful marriages or joyful relationships with the Lord just don't happen because you come to church. We've got to do our part, and God does His part. Plain and simple. We have a promise from Him that He will give us revival in our hearts if we will do our part. I want to read for you, actually, what I'm thinking about, a couple of verses we looked at back in Sunday school that goes with this. James chapter 4, verses, anybody's taking notes, verses 7 through 10. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. That's a promise, folks. Conditional. It's a conditional promise that if we do our part, God will do His part. Can I get an amen on that besides just Randy? Randy gives enough amens every week to cover all of you, don't he? We need to start giving Randy, say, a quarter for every amen. He could take Diana on a trip to Hawaii next year. Guys, I miss you guys the last couple of weeks, and I tremendously appreciate you guys. And that's why I just want to reiterate, again, this was not condemnation, it was examination. And I just think every now and then we got to step back and examine ourselves. I think when we do, God will lead us to honest answers. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning.
Lord, there are folks in here, and I can name them, but I don't want their head to get too big. They're on fire for you. They've been revived, and you can see it in them. You can hear it in them. There's just a glow in them in their love and relationship for you. And I praise you for them, and I pray that they would continue to be examples to others. But then, Lord, there's those of us who, there's some areas in our lives and our Christian walk that become kind of sluggish and boring and blah and have faded away. And Lord, we need you to lead us into a revival personally, to reignite fires in our hearts and passions in our hearts that are in line with your heart. So that, Lord, we would become a church of individuals that would be all you want us to be, so that we can do all you want us to do and say all you want us to say. And so, Lord, I just pray, you know, again, this was just laying my heart out there today. I didn't do any expository dissecting of verses or scriptures or text. And I pray you'll take this today and just speak to our hearts throughout the rest of the day and the week to come. Lord, we love you. We do thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all you will do. In Christ's name, amen.